we present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksby.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a cutting from the Sunday Times travel supplement read by Neil Sleat.
Ryanair has confirmed the removal of the last of its check-in desks. Passengers now check in online at a cost of £5 per passenger per leg.
And our thanks to Raymond LG for sending us that. Let's meet the teams, will you? Welcome first on my right, Jeremy Hardy and Danielle Ward. And opposite them on my left, Miles Jupp and Carrie Quinlan. Jeremy, why are we all going to have to start pulling our punchlines?
Well, this is the BBC Trust. It basically said comedy can be cruel, which means we can experiment on live animals, but it shouldn't be unduly humiliating, intimidatory, ungrammatical. It said it should be proportionate to the target. If you're talking Harold Shipman, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, Noel Edmonds, those kind of people. But I think that we ought to try to be more joyful and less nasty in comedy anyway. I've resolved rather late in life to try not to hate people. I hate what people do. I hate what they say. I hate what they think. I hate what they look like. I hate everything about them, but I don't hate them. And I think that we ought to be less hateful and more gleeful and more mischievous. But it is all spiralled out of control since the Saxgate debacle.
It's interesting about the Andrew Sachs thing, because, I mean, if he hadn't been in a sitcom that was cruel enough for him to be continually hit over the head with a frying pan, we wouldn't like him enough to care that he got dirty phone calls.
There's a strange irony in there, isn't there? If they don't want us to make cruel jokes about people in the public eye, then surely they should stop filling the public eye with complete morons.
I don't see why it would just be comedy as well. I mean, surely lots of programmes are derogatory. Newsnight Review, would it just be Tom Paulin saying everything's smashing? I mean,
Paul Paxman's quite abusive, isn't he? He more or less accuses people of lying, and he goes, That's quite intimidating, isn't it, if you're a bit tired? And the Today programme. God, you've got to feel sorry for politicians. They're at 6 o'clock, they've got to be there in the studio to be harangued, to answer the question. And you just want to say, look, I've just got up, leave me alone.
Isn't defensive material already labelled Top Gear? Isn't it already very clear?
And the last night of the proms. I mean, if that isn't humiliating, intimidatory... I mean, it's the only thing missing from the last night of the proms is the white hoods. It's just it's a rally of Daily Mail reading Tim Henman fans. It's horrible.
Did you see that Stalin's grandson is suing a newspaper in Russia because actually he was not as bad as he was? I spent a lot of time going, Stalin, oh, well, if you'd got to know him. Anyway, the story was 2 points to Jeremy. This is the news that the BBC Trust are publishing new guidelines, including the rule that all comedy must respect human dignity. Stephen Fry said the decision makes him want to explode, a comment which couldn't be broadcast as it could be offensive to suicide bombers. Danielle, who's done his sums on the way to the summit?
This must be about the Tory conference.
You've been paying attention.
I've been paying attention. I'm sure a lot of people saw the speech today by David Cameron.
Yesterday, or possibly if you were listening on Saturday, the day before.
The speech yesterday by David Cameron, I thought it was an amazing bit of PR on behalf of the Tory party, because everybody, like all the left-wing commentators, would have been there picking holes in his speech. But what anybody said afterwards was, God, isn't Bono a prick? That's all anybody said.
What was Bono doing there?
He introduced
it, yeah, Cameron. He introduced it.
Is Bono a Tory now?
I don't know. He's wearing sunglasses. He clearly didn't want to be recognised.
David Cameron was saying that, obviously in his speech, that we're facing tough and painful times ahead. And you'll go, yeah, we all know you're going to win the election. No need to boast.
The bit highlight when they were doing the coverage is that Cameron said, shouldn't allow somebody's birth to stand in their way of advancement. And they cut to a picture of George Osborne. I just thought, slightly unfortunate. Yes,
birth was a mistake, wasn't it? By any
Do you know what George Osborne's real name is? Anybody know what his real name is?
Sheila McCafferty.
Is it Sharon Osborne?
Well...
Is it Mohammed?
It's Gideon, so you're close, really. It's Gideon Osborne. Yes, he changed his name by...
Best left in a drawer, never looked at. The Tories are all very excited, though, to have General Sir Richard Dannett in their new lineup. And I was listening to some BBC person who said... He said, well, it's quite a coup. And I thought, yes, in a way it is, isn't it? Generals in government, they've done it in a slightly subtle way, but slightly alarming.
It was when they said on the Today programme, General Dannett's going to be made a Tory peer. I thought, oh, it sounds like Eastbourne, but with guns.
They were all excited, apart from Chris Grayling. Home Secretary, who got confused and thought it was a Labour plan and went, well, it just sounds like a gimmick. To me, I hate it when politicians do things like, it's what? Oh, brilliant, brilliant. splendid idea. The thing that always worries me about Conservative governments, and they did it again, was that Cameron said that he wants communities to govern themselves. And I always just think, lazy.
Did you not have a sense when he said he wanted to help the poorest children that he was really thinking of setting up a fagging system in comprehensive?
Crumpets for all!
It is going to be weird when we're ruled by the Bullingdon Club, isn't it?
It is.
Young offenders will be held against radiators for long periods of time.
There's been a lot of fuss about champagne drinking as well, isn't there? Because people are saying you can't say you're going to talk about taking cuts and then be seen drinking champagne. But actually what David Cameron was seen drinking was a Bollinger 96, which isn't even that great.
No. In his last conference speech before the election, David Cameron said there was a steep climb ahead, but the view would be worth it. Why? It makes it sound like the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. Herds of wildebeest sweeping majestically across the plains of Africa. After his speech, Cameron headed straight back to his hotel room with his lovely wife, Rupert Murdoch. 2 points to Danielle. Miles, who can no longer treat his immunity with impunity?
Well, this is our dear Italian friend, Silvio Berlusconi,
indeed,
who's had a difficult week. He's a sort of Italian David Letterman. But what I do love about Silvio Berlusconi is he finished his statement about this with the words, Viva Italia and Viva Berlusconi. And he's not the first person to think you can just sort of coast by in life with a catchphrase. But Viva Italia, I don't know if you know this, I bet he didn't. It was actually the name of a rather short-lived delicatessen range that Safeway's... Safeway's promoted. I know this because for two afternoons I had a job promoting the Viva Italian range in a branch of Safeway's in Wishaw in Lanarkshire. Which me...
Is this true?
Yeah, it's true. When I was a student, me and my friend John, we got jobs dressing as gladiators in...
Deviation.
What did you have to do? Force-feed people pesto? What was the plan?
Well, we would stage this sort of mock sort of sword fight. We were dressed in...
Just what people wanted.
Oh, you were Roman gladiators, not the ones with giant Q-tips.
I wasn't dressed as Jet. Where we'd had a fight, and then I'd win the fight, and he goes, where'd you get your strength from? And I say, from the Viva Italia range. And he'd say, where'd you get that? And I say, it's at the end of aisle seven. And then...
I cannot think why this range was short-lived.
Was this their sole advertising effort? They just kind of hoped that enough people would wander up that aisle during the course of their life and see you do that.
Two men doing a live advert in one single...
I don't know why it didn't take off, but we certainly put the hours and the effort in. I mean, we were dressed. Also, there wasn't really any money for costumes, so we were. I don't mean there was no costume, but I mean we wore those sort of plastic gladiator outfits that are meant for children who are, you know, obviously smaller than us. And we said, is there a dressing room? Because we were even at that stage rather grand, and we. we were said, yeah, there's somewhere to change, and it was the room where other people were changing into their Safeways outfits. So while all these sort of blokes from Wishaw were getting changed into their Safeways outfits, the two of us were putting on children's gladiator outfits.
I once met a man in Sainsbury's dressed as a Twiglet. I have never seen a more depressed party snack in my life.
Twiglets never had much of an empire, did they, to be honest?
They brought out a spicy Twiglet, and they thought the best way to sell this was a man. Just this little face, miserable face. He said to me, he said, I went to RADA, you know. Two points to Miles. Italy's constitutional court has overturned a law passed by Silvio Berlusconi's government that gave him immunity from prosecution while prime minister. The law protected Italy's top four political posts, that of prime minister, that of chief of bribes, the spray tan advisor and chief pimp. Having passed the age of 70 under Italian law, Berlusconi can no longer be jailed if found guilty, although his hair can be tried in a juvenile court. At the end of round one, the scores are that Jeremy and Danielle have got 4 points, but Miles and Carrie have got 5 and are in the lead. We start round two with a question submitted to Garden Bird News.
I have seen sparrows trapped by the nuts in wire feeders before. Is this a design fault?
And our thanks to Alison Owen from West Sussex for sending us that. Danielle, who doesn't want them to eat cake?
There's this whole thing, movement in France, in politics at the moment, where everybody's looking at Carla Bruni going, she's very pretty, I think I'd like to look like her. But obviously they can't. So they just,
they're all men.
They're all men, yeah. I don't think we should have attractive politicians. Though saying that, I was at a dog fair recently, yes. Strap yourself in for this story. I was at a dog fair and I was stood next to David Miliband. He's very good looking in real life.
But he's got that weird sort of moustache that lives under his top lip. He's got that weird sort of 5 o'clock shadow moustache thing all the time.
But he's very good. If I had to have a pin-up calendar of one of the cabinet,
yeah. You'd have him.
If I had to, it'd be Miliband.
You are hot for him, aren't you?
He's very... And I went to Latitude and stood behind me was Ed Miliband. I'm a Miliband magnet.
If I had a poster in one of the cabinet, I'd have Hazel Blears because it wouldn't take up so much room.
Did you see the picture of Nicolas Sarkozy with the massive watering can that someone gave him?
Why?
There's a picture of him watering some plants and rather than... They must have set it up because the watering can is so big, makes him look like... You, a little bit. I didn't mean that.
He's made the terrible mistake of marrying somebody who's much younger, much more attractive, much taller and much slimmer. Thinks, oh, this is a bit good. She fancies me. Not realising that women don't choose a man on the basis of what he looks like now. Men to women are a project. It's like a conversion. It's like, you know, they want to add value. It's like, well, I could knock through here.
Sorry for him, because when was it, July, he collapsed while jogging, and I thought, what a surprise, you're 4'6", climbing the pavement must feel like the Grand National.
Apparently Gordon Brown's doing Pilates.
Okay, so I feel unwell now.
I want to see him cage fighting.
French politics is succumbing to the Carla Bruni effect, with ministers forced to copy the president's fitness and weight loss drive if they want to keep their jobs. To emulate their boss, several French ministers are dieting heavily and walking around on their knees. Sarkozy's diet is closely monitored by his wife's personal trainer. That is so modern, isn't it? You hire somebody to nag your husband. I like that. 2 points to Danielle. Miles, which lessons no longer go with a bang?
Oh, yes, this is sort of complicated, this, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
There's a health and safety issue at school now. So in science lessons, you're not allowed to have sort of what we used to call practical demonstrations. These are now deemed too dangerous to have in the classroom. But it's coming at the same time as private schools. Now they have to prove their charitable status, so they have to let less privileged people in. So basically, they think that it's not safe for them to play with Bunsen burners, but it is safe for them to experiment with the poor.
When I was a lad, we used to get given talks because we lived near the ash ranges, the firing ranges, which are used by the army to test mortars and to target practice and everything. And we were specifically told never pick up and bring home anything that you find on the ranges, because you could find unspent ordnance up there that people had dropped. And you could actually fire, if you got an unspent round in its cartridge, you could fire it. You put it in your dad's vice with the back slightly proud, tighten it up, whack it with a hammer, you could fire it across the garage. This was before PlayStation. We had to make our own weapons in those days.
Did you go to a comp as well?
No, I went to grammar school, I'm afraid.
I got a message from my school recently because they found out that I was the second most famous person, and they sent me a list of the top five famous people, and on the list was someone whose auntie had had sex with Nicholas Lyndhurst.
That's the kind of ranking that they use. Is that the sort of thing that they announced at speech day, wasn't it? But actually, in fairness, because it was great chemistry, because you got... Cause the only good thing about it was, you know, making explosions and things. But when I got to university, I knew somebody in the chemistry department, and they were dealing with fantastically dangerous chemicals and stuff in there. And I was talking to a friend once, and I said, how are you getting on? What was your day like? She said, oh, yeah, I had a practical today. I said, was it good? She said, well, yeah, only thing is I took the lid off something, made all the men sterile.
Be hopeless at science. The only thing I know about chemistry is you're not supposed to lick the spoon. That's about it. The number of experiments performed in school science lessons has fallen dramatically because of health and safety concerns. Did you know that the average life expectancy of a chemistry teacher is now down to 2 weeks? It's really... And I can tell you that at the end of round two, the scores are Jeremy and Danielle have got 9 points, but Miles and Carrie are still in the lead with 10. Before we start round three, here's an advert spotted in the Louth Leader.
For sale, one matching chair.
And our thanks to Jenny Ward from Lincolnshire for sending us that. Jeremy, how is a new website trying to ensure that crime does, in fact, pay?
This is quite weird. There are lots... We're the most watched nation on Earth, apparently. There are more CCTV cameras than people or something. So nobody's looking at them. But so what they're going to do is have rewards where you can sit at home and instead of watching reality TV, you watch reality. What they're going to do, you'll just be given a CCTV camera to monitor and you sit at home and it's interactive. And if you see a crime taking place, you press a button and a laser zaps the shoplifter. And I don't know if you get a voice, even if you've got a voice, put down the hobnobs.
I don't want to spend hours looking at a screen in the hope of possibly seeing a crime. It'd be like watching Midsummer Murders.
Logically, they should get people in prison to do it because they've got a lot of time on their hands and would know what to look out for.
Do you think you get special net curtains to go over the screen that you can twitch?
You've got different things you can press. If you see a woman in a short skirt, you can press the button that says she's no better than she ought to be.
Have you seen their... it's trialling in Stratford-upon-Avon, this thing. This CCTV thing. They're trying it out in Stratford-upon-Avon. Do you think you lose points if you don't report it in iambic pentameter?
Well, at Stratford-on-Avon, they're going to see stabbings, poisonings, all manner of things. People taking over the monarchy by killing the king. It's going to be
being
ridiculous.
Chased by bears.
This is the story that would make George Orwell so proud. The website Internet Eyes is about to be launched, which allows the public to plug into the country's CCTV cameras and win prizes for reporting on crimes they see committed. Human rights campaigners are worried that people might use the website to spy on their neighbours. Presumably this will mostly be people who don't have Windows.
Wouldn't you be tempted to dress up as someone you didn't like and go and commit a crime?
OK, no, but good luck with that. Danielle, whose naval mistake left them feeling sick as a parrot?
This would be the Somali pirates,
yeah,
who saw a great big ship, thought, we'll have a bit of that. get there and it's a French naval vessel. But when I think it was the Telegraph that reported this story, and they said, oh, this just goes to show that the Somali pirates don't have great technology. You think, no, but they've got eyes, surely.
You say they've got eyes, but one of them's always covered with a patch.
Do you think they came at the boat from the blind side?
Yeah.
Maybe they knew it was a French naval vessel, they just thought it was further away.
They're nice, those Somali pirates, so they're not like the creepy kind of pirates who sort of bootleg videos and stuff, because that's a crime. No, but they're all...
The pirates apparently had Kalashnikovs, right? And then they felt anxious when they saw that the French had a 40mm cannon. Now, anybody? That doesn't seem very big to me. That's a little thing. Perhaps I misunderstood it.
The moment they realised it was a naval vessel, they presumably, the pirates, felt exactly the same way as those lads did that tried to beat up two blokes dressed as women that turned out to be cage fighters.
That's brilliant, wasn't it?
That was tremendous. Yeah. There was two men walking around of an evening wearing women's clothing. For, you know, this is amusing. They were on a stag party. They'd been to Jonglers. And they were walking...
Oh, God.
They weren't trying to sell some range of food in Safeway's right. Yeah.
These two blokes were walking along in women's clothing, and some other blokes saw them and said, look, there's men dressed as women. We don't like them. Let's hit them. So they started hitting the men dressed as women, but the men dressed as women turned out to be professional cage fighters and beat the living S out of them.
What's a cage fighter?
It's a very violent hamster.
Somali pirates got a nasty surprise when a ship they attacked at night turned out to be a French warship, La Somme, the flagship operating against, well, pirates.
In fairness, they probably expected it to surrender immediately, didn't they?
They mistook La Somme for a soft target after successfully boarding La Camembert. Armed only with baguettes and a refreshing bottle of Chablis. 2 points to Daniel. Miles, who is putting the end of the line online?
This is an extraordinary story. There's a crematorium that have started webcasting funerals. They stream these things live for the benefit of people that are unable to attend the funerals in person. Because, for instance, they have difficulty moving around or they're particularly elderly. So you have to log in the internet, which seems slightly extraordinary because the sort of people that be unable to get there, for instance, the elderly, strike me as the sort of people that aren't probably that good at working the internet.
Also, people who can't get around does sound awfully like the deceased, doesn't it? We can make it.
And then you can get a DVD. If you can't work the internet in time, you can later be sent a DVD of the funeral. So you can watch it. It's lovely that you can have a variety of cameras, probably. There's a sort of nice sort of shot from the back, a wide shot, and there's close-ups for tears and things. And then there's a thermal imaging one. So you can get right into the action, really. It's just like...
If you don't know about the internet, imagine, for example, you're watching one of these things on the internet and the coffin just sort of heads sliding out, and then suddenly the computer does that thing where there's a swirly thing and it says buffering, and you think, oh, maybe there's hope.
Can you report a crime while you're watching it?
What I like is the website says Wheely Crematorium is operated by Tendring District Council and is part of the council's leisure services.
Everybody needs a hobby. They do suggest that people who are in hospital and can't get to funerals might like to watch. which is one thing, but if you're on a ward with lots of other people who are extremely ill, the last thing you want to be overhearing.
Might be done deliberately to empty beds.
They are horrible places, crematoria, right? They just don't, they haven't found a way of making it a good experience. I'd never get married in one, I tell you.
Wheely Crematorium near Clacton in Essex is to start broadcasting its funerals over the internet. Linda McWilliams of Tendring District Council said it could ease the distress of a relative who was unable to attend, or possibly if they're trying to use Windows Vista, tip them over the edge. often just passes through the curtain and says, you're experiencing a problem with the firewall. It's a nightmare. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Mr. Hardy.
This was sent in by Aidan Stowe. It's from BBC News Online about Lewis Hamilton. It says, might amuse Charlotte Green, but she's not here. But let's hope you're listening, Charlotte, because you're a filthy cow. it says, it's about Lewis Hamilton. The 24-year-old racing driver who became the youngest winner of the World Championship in November picked up the award at Buckingham Palace. Hamilton, who is dating pussycat doll singer Nicole Scherzinger, has enjoyed a rapid rise.
Mr. Jupp.
This has been sent in by Paul Swarbrick from Yateley. It's from the Metro, and this, unbelievably, is what it says in a horoscope. Virgo, you're being held back by too many what-ifs and maybes, Virgo. You can't foretell what's going to happen tomorrow, next week or next year, so why waste your time wondering?
Ms. Quinlan.
This is from Emma Bennett in Oxford, and it's the Bahrain Yellow Pages. This is Westminster Gulf Scaffolding and Access Services Contractors. No job too big, no job too small. Make sure your next erection is in safe hands.
Let's take a look at the final score. Jeremy and Danielle have got 12 points, but this week's winners are Miles and Carrie with 13. Before we leave you, here is a cutting from Tuesday's Sun sent to us by Kat Lamper from Germany.
Sex-mad Russell Brand was pining for his pop star girlfriend Katy Perry yesterday and confessed, I think I'm in love. But asked about his nights of passion, he said coyly, I don't think I should be drawn on that, and then sped off to the gym. A giant marrow was delivered by a man on a pushbike while he was away.
And with that, goodbye.
Trying not to offend anybody in the news quiz were Jeremy Hardy, Danielle Ward, Carrie Quinlan and Miles Jupp. In the chair was the completely inoffensive Sandy Toksvig, and the news was read by me, Neil Sleet, who had nothing to do with any of it. The chair's script was very carefully written by Roderick Crooks, who's lovely, Simon Littlefield, who's a very pleasant young man, and John Hunter, who wouldn't hurt a fly, with any mean or nasty bits carefully removed by John Luke Roberts and Gareth Gwynne. No politicians, corporations or public institutions were demeaned during the making of this programme, but any aggressive comments directed towards persons either living, dead or in charge of the Italian government were purely coincidental. The producer was Victoria Lloyd.